إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد, my dear brothers and sisters, we come to the third and last of the requirements for global movements. We talked about the issue of leadership, followership, and then we looked at the three things which is a central ideology which can hold people together, a central authority which directs what is to be done, but at the same time a central authority which is decentralized enough to share power and to encourage successorship. The third one I want to talk to you today about is the lubricant for this entire machinery. Like an engine which can be an engine of the best design and which can have the fuel that is required to run the engine, but if there is no lubricant, the engine will cease. And the lubricant of global movements is money, it's funds. Without funds, you can have the best of ideologies, you can have the best of commands and authorities and the best of structures, but if there are no funds, it won't work. And this is where Islam takes the position of compulsory funding, which is in several forms. The first and foremost of it which we know is that of the standard zakat, which is a wealth tax. It is not a tax on income, because the purpose is to keep income in circulation. Today all the gimmickry and social gymnastics that is going on in India with regard to the demonetization is for one reason only, which is to say, get the money back into the market, get the money back into circulation. I mean, that's the, apart from all the other reasons and so on for it, but the main reason is that money has been taken out of circulation, get it back into circulation. In an Islamic system, that will never happen. The Islamic system mandates that money must be and remain in circulation, and that is done by a compulsory 2.5% on wealth tax, on wealth which is accumulated for a year, including things like gold and silver, where money is normally parked. In Islam, if you do not have money to pay zakat on your gold and silver, you are supposed to sell a part of it, enough to pay the zakat. Even if it comes to a situation where every year you keep selling a part of it until you reach a point where now you are eligible to receive zakat instead of giving zakat. And that, sometimes on the face of it, this looks like it's a harsh thing, but it's not harsh, because this is the position that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken with respect to ensuring that money stays in circulation. So that is one. Second thing is, of course, there is different levels of zakat. This 2.5% is a standard one, but there is different levels of zakat on agricultural produce and so on and so forth. Plus, in the days of the futuhat, you had ghanima, you had fe, different forms of revenue for the state that were collected. All of this was centralized in what we know as the Baitul Mal, which was the state treasury. In the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, this was not in an organized institutional form. It was in an informal way, and it used to be distributed as soon as it came. But by the time Sayyidina Umar bin al-Khattab radiallahu anhu became a Khalifa, this was one of his many cardinal services to the community and to the entire Islamic system that he created processes, he created systems, he created organizational structures which did not exist before him. And one of those which he created was the system of centralized funding, which is Baitul Mal. So in the time of Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, all the zakat and all of the rest of the revenues of the state would be collected into the Baitul Mal, into the state treasury, and from there they would be centrally disbursed. Now this system is extremely effective, because then money goes to where it is needed. Today, for example, if you take the funding of madaris, you find that some madrasas are very wealthy and some madrasas maybe right next door which are extremely poor. And the reason for it is because of the charismatic character and the followers of the person running the madrasa. So in some cases, because the person is someone who can attract funding, he gets a lot of funding. In another case, the person running the madrasa might be even more capable, might be even more dedicated, but he does not know the right people, so he doesn't get any funding. Now the reason for this disparity is because there is no centralized system of disbursing of funds. Similarly, take money required for different things in the community, some feeding the poor, for example, looking after people in hospitals, education, so on and so on. Funding is not uniform, funding is not in accordance with the need, funding is very sporadic because of the same reason. Some people fund one organization, some people fund another organization. All of this happens because there is no centralized system of collection of funds and disbursement of funds. In our case, collection, disbursement, all of that is only zakat, because there is no other sort of funding at the moment, and we are not even talking about state funding. We are talking about funding at a community level, but still it should be there, and this is the responsibility of the responsible people in a community to ensure that there is a centralized collection of charitable funds and distribution. Sheikh Yusuf Al-Qardawi has given a fatwa to say that if somebody in a community does not do that, then the entire community is responsible. It's a collective responsibility and a collective sin on the entire community if they are not collecting and disbursing funds in a centralized manner. So to come back to the issue of centralized funding, this is one part, which is to centralized collection and centralized distribution. The second thing which Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radhiyallahu anhu did was that he did not just distribute money as soon as it came. He created systems where there would be ways of continuing income to the state, even where these funds like charity and zakat and so on, obviously they won't dry up, but there can be fluctuation in the receivables. What he did was that he would give state land for cultivation and so on, and then the state would get a tax on it. Plus he would have herds of camels and sheep and so on, which belong to the state, and these also became a source of funding. Now if you translate that into a modern context, you can think about it as endowment funds which are set up in order to fund ongoing funding of charitable works. This is something which in the West, especially with Jewish people, is absolutely standard. If they need to spend $20 in some place, they will set up an endowment fund. The two major benefits of endowment funds: one is that the charity then becomes perpetual to the extent possible. So if you get some funding, you are not just spending it off and then next year again you are back with a begging bowl in your hand, which is our standard way of running Muslim organizations. You take chanda, you spend it off, next year you are back again standing in line with a begging bowl in your hand, chanda collection. Where is the need? I mean, if you look at the if you calculate, transparency is one of the biggest problems with our organization, but assuming that somebody knows, Allah of course knows, but other than Allah also the people who are collecting the money, they know what they collected. If you just calculate and say in the last 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, how much money did you collect, you will be astounded. You get humongous amount of funds, but everything gets, at the end of the year you're zero. So next year back to the begging bowl again, and then that is where it leads to all kinds of bad systems. Like for example in India, it's almost standard that they have collection agents, and collection agents take up to 60% of the funds that they collect. They pocket them, they give only 40% to the madaris. It's a racket if you look at it the way it is done. And the reason for that is because there is no system in terms of the funding. But instead of that, if you set up endowment funds, Harvard for example has an endowment fund of 30 billion. Can you imagine the kind of revenue that fund generates? And that's because that's over. Harvard was built when my grandfather was building my grandmother's tomb in Agra, exactly same year, 1400 something. The Americans were building a college instead of somebody's tomb. So the issue is that because of that, over the centuries, the fund has accumulated. 30 billion. I mean, imagine the kind of revenue that. Now, if you say that if you had that kind of a fund, what could you do with the revenue from an endowment fund of 30 billion? You know, unimaginable, all the kind of good that can be done. But because we are unsystematic about it, things don't happen. So it's very important, centralized funding. Do think about how can we set up endowment funds. And these are all interest-free things. There's no interest involved, there's nothing haram in it, perfectly halal. But we have to use our brains. So very important, set up endowment funds before you just spend the money. And then see how receivables and accounts can be centralized in such a way that then disbursement can be to the extent equitable as possible, so that money is not, some areas are not starved of funds while other areas are flush with funds. That should not happen. We must make sure that there is no question of equality, because it's a question of distribution must be done depending on need, but it should be done depending on need, not depending on who gets what. If we look at that, inshallah, then the funding is better. So centralized, central ideology which we have, alhamdulillah, central authority which is what we need to have, and centralized funding. If these three things come together, then you find that you have global movements which have dynamism in them, which can go forward, and inshallah, which can succeed. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to enable us to learn from the seerat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to implement that in our lives. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.